Welcome to Career Crashers, where we tell the stories of those who are not content to wait around following rules and hoping for good things to happen. Great careers aren't found, they're forged. It's time to crash the party.
Imagine your favorite city. What comes to mind? Shining skyscrapers? Busy restaurants? Green space? I'm imagining that you're actually missing out on 1 out of every 3 feet in the city. 30% of our cities are actually occupied by parking space. And today we're going to be talking about a company that knows exactly how much space is used on parking and is working to put it to better use. That's Air Garage. I'm Ryan, your atypical podcast host for today, as we're starting a new series talking to founders and hiring leaders at up-and-coming startups. You'll learn about their company culture, their vision and mission, and what they look for in new team members as they strive to build an amazing team. Today, we're learning about Air Garage and how they're reimagining the way we use parking space in our cities. We'll meet the founder and learn more about the vision behind the company, and also meet an employee to learn more about what it's like to work there day to day.
Even the makers of The Sims.
That's Priya Ghosh, software engineer at Air Garage.
Basically, they wanted to make like this exact replica of a city, but then they realized that like if you actually replicate the amount of parking, it's just like too boring. Like you just have to like go through this empty space and like nobody likes it. So they actually like cut out a bunch of parking. And so it's no longer an exact replica of a city. It's like a replica of a city minus a lot of the parking.
But really, at the end of the day, what we're doing is building this network of real estate that we want to digitize and make legible to digital systems so that then basically people can build on top of that.
And that's Jonathan Barkle, co-founder and CEO of Air Garage, talking about what happens when you take a mostly unused parking lot and turn it into something bigger.
And you know, by basically knowing where the spaces are sitting empty, knowing when they're sitting empty, we can then allocate those spaces more efficiently and say, okay, Thursdays after 5 p.m., this parking lot's not being used for parking, so it can be used for other more interesting use cases. And businesses that want to build in the physical world can come to us and spin up or spin down real estate usage like you would spin up or spin down an Amazon AWS S3 instance, right?
At Crash, we're always on the lookout for companies that are building the future and the careers that come along with them. But before we find out too much about the future of Air Garage, let's rewind and find out how they got started.
The original version of Air Garage that we were building in like 2017 was kind of this idea of like Airbnb for parking, of like we were college students. We didn't want to pay too much for parking on campus. The garage on campus was, you know, $1,000 a year. And we realized, hey, there's driveways sitting empty across the street. And why not go tap into those? So we started obviously bragging about that to all of our friends, friends of friends. People started saying, well, I want to do that, but I don't want to knock on strangers' doors to get parking. And so long story short, we built out that, you know, original platform of like connecting driveway owners to students looking for parking. And, you know, it was a cool business, but, you know, in order to scale to any meaningful revenue, you would have needed millions of driveways. And on a one sale equals one driveway basis, it just never would have made sense. And so basically we started working with one of those churches that was already selling parking. They were just using an attendant. Through working with that church super closely, we basically co-created what Air Garage is today, which is that it's this parking operator that, you know, now we manage and monetize your parking lots. We do everything from advertising the parking spaces to collecting payments from drivers to immobilizing for illegally parked vehicles.
So it starts with a pain point for college students, but they quickly realize that there's a much bigger opportunity and there's a much bigger market for underutilized parking spaces.
And as we started to build out this network of parking lots that we were managing, companies started coming to us, such as like scooter companies or storage companies or rental car companies, coming to us and saying, hey, we see that you have these spaces. Can we rent them from you? And it was kind of those conversations with those customers, asking them like, okay, well, you want to rent space from us. We only have like 10 parking lots. You must be desperate if you're coming to us as opposed to anyone else. But the challenge is just that the majority of parking lots in the world are managed and monetized in this really old school, offline, old fashioned way. And so there's no insight into where the parking spaces are or how they're being used. And, you know, these parking spaces, they're not just some fringe use case. It's like 30% of the average American city that is dedicated to parking. And so those customers have had this real pain point of if they want space in the physical world, they have to sign long-term lease agreements. They have to go, you know, make individual agreements with different owners. And it's this huge, painful process.
So Jonathan was keenly aware of the problems his customers were facing and the opportunities that existed from the underutilized parking spaces in every city. But all of this is related to a much bigger problem. one that Priya, a lifelong Bay Area resident, was keenly aware of and was skeptical about before she joined Air Garage.
It's really funny. I actually was pretty hesitant about joining because I'm an urbanist, but they're a parking company. And so, you know, I was told they're like an urbanist company, but I was like a little skeptical of that. I thought like, well, I mean, they sell parking. Like, how urbanist can you be? I don't know if you've read, there's this book by Donald Shoup called The High Price of Free Parking. Okay, so basically the idea is like, we really heavily subsidize cars and we really heavily subsidize parking. And so like in San Francisco, if you think about the a parking spot on the street, it's essentially free for most people. Like there's tons of free parking in San Francisco. Maybe you need a permit that's like $100 a year. But if you think about what that land is actually worth, if we were to say put a tiny house there or something, it's worth so much more. And so essentially when we subsidize parking like this, it has like all these effects. Essentially it means people drive way more than they would otherwise, even though driving comes at a pretty high cost to our society. And so essentially this book argues is that we need to price parking at market rate. Our value is that like we can adjust parking rates like throughout the day. So another big part of the vision is that we want to become an API for parking spots. So basically we think that parking spots are not always best utilized as car storage. Instead, they can be used as farmers markets. They can be used for outdoor cinemas. They can be used, you know, to host food trucks.
Yep.
And we've actually run some really interesting experiments where we do have done all of those things. But our future vision for Air Garage is that you can essentially just book parking spots for whatever you want, in the same way you could just like go on Airbnb and book an Airbnb for whatever you want, whether that's like a wedding or a party, I don't know. But yeah, you can just book it. You don't need to book it for a car. You can book it for, you know, your best use case.
So the problem was clear and the opportunity was clear, but they needed to go out and build the team to solve it. So one of the things they did was go and find venture funding. Here's Jonathan on why.
Yeah, I think for us, it really came down to, is there a viable path to trade time for money? And if there is, then you should do a venture scale business. And if there is not, then you should not. And so I wouldn't say that we've definitively proven that there is a way for us to trade money for time yet, but that is the entire idea of like raising a seed round, is to prove that that trade-off exists and that you also have like a scalable and repeatable growth channel that you can exercise that on. And so for us, you know, it's not necessarily written in stone that we're going to continue on the venture path, but that is kind of the direction that we're headed based on the growth that we've been seeing. And, you know, having those additional resources is really meaningful for us, considering that, you know, prior to raising a seed round, we were entirely bootstrapped and self-funded. And, you know, the things that you can do with a team that is just kicking ass day in and day out, and, you know, basically it feels like having superpowers, right? Where, you know, I can say like, hey, this thing needs to get done. And then I don't have to necessarily go do it, because I have people on my team that I trust will do it and execute at an A-star, you know, level, and that will get done. And it's like a force multiplier on the vision of the company. So for us, really, if we want to have this mega impact on the world, on the thing that we're trying to attack, I think that's the right approach for us.
So with venture funding secured, Jonathan and the original Air Garage team were able to start building a bigger team that would give them more superpowers. To do that, they flipped the script by focusing on people first and the markets they were in second.
And really, we're more focused on finding people that we're excited about. So we didn't choose like, hey, we want Los Angeles or we want Detroit or we want, you know, New York. We chose like, okay, we're open to literally any metro area in the United States because all of them have this same problem around parking. Where are the people that we are excited about working with? You know, we have basically four stated values so far that we've agreed on as a team. You know, we like this shake hands mentality. So people that are willing to go in person to do the thing in the real world. So, you know, sometimes we wind up installing signage in parking lots last minute because, you know, parking lot owners want us to onboard them quickly. And we're like, well, we can't get a contractor. So we're just going to, you know, fly to Omaha and install the signs ourselves. So that's one of the big things, is that willingness to, you know, be there in person, physically show up, that kind of thing. The next one is like open and direct communication. So we love people that, you know, are really clear communicators. We give a lot of direct feedback. And the other thing that we really look for is kind of the pace of learning. So we don't hire for, you know, where is their y-axis? We hire for what is their slope? We hire for, is this person each week bringing new questions to the table that are adding to and, you know, building on the questions that we were asking last week? So they have this kind of forward momentum in their learning. And then the final thing that we really look for is people that are, you know, full of humility or really humble, and they have this willingness to do what it takes to succeed. because, you know, sometimes it does involve doing things that are not fun or that are in the nitty gritty details that are not exactly enjoyable to do day to day, but we have to do them because we're a small company and we're trying to build something big.
One of those great employees who met all of the Air Garage values is Priya, who you've already met on this episode. But Priya has an interesting backstory of her own on how she went from graduating college in math and philosophy to working as a freelance writer before learning programming through boot camps and on her own and becoming a full-time software engineer.
After college, I was in survey research. So I was doing survey research for like all these big companies like Starbucks and Clorox and Ford and Equinox. And it sounded really exciting to me when I started, but I kind of learned that working with big companies was actually not very exciting because they moved so slowly. Yeah. And I would like spend, you know, months doing research and then the research would kind of go nowhere. Like it would just kind of get lost in the bureaucracy, or it would take like 3 years before anything was actually, you know, like live and out in the world.
Right.
And so I basically kind of burned out because I just felt like I was having no impact. So I quit that job. I essentially had trialed a bunch of different types of jobs and I couldn't find anything that I was really excited about. And I actually grew up in the Bay Area, so I knew a lot of people in tech. And I felt like of all my friends, like all of like, I don't know, I'm a millennial. And all of the millennials I knew who weren't in tech were just kind of like, my life sucks, like adulthood sucks. And then I talked to my tech friends and they were like really excited about everything all the time. And I don't know, eventually that just got through to me like, oh, actually there is like a place that's very exciting and like where I could have an impact. And it's just like, I don't know, just totally different from what else is going on in the world right now, I think. So then I just decided to try it. I took a machine learning class on Coursera. Because I thought, you know, I'd been in survey research doing kind of like data analysis type of stuff. So I thought, oh, I'll just, you know, start doing machine learning. But after that, I realized that I was still worried that I wouldn't really make an impact doing kind of like machine learning type of things. Because a lot of times, again, you're kind of just like giving people like data or answers and you're like letting other people go execute. And I realized I wanted to be the person executing and that the best way to do that would be to get into software engineering. Once I decided to pursue programming, I just, you know, kind of started taking classes and I kind of fell in love with it over time. And then I decided to enroll in this bootcamp and I just went for it completely.
That bootcamp is Hack Reactor, a 3-month intensive program to learn software engineering.
It actually went from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day. And we also had school on Saturdays too, but on Saturdays we got up at 5 p.m. So that was like a perk. And on Sundays you would often study too. So it was like total immersion. I like to compare it to essentially language learning. It's like you have all these kids who, you know, have gone through 5 years of language study in school, but still can't actually speak the language. And I was one of them. But then people go for like a summer, you know, they spend a summer in Mexico and they come back basically fluent. And I think that's just a much better way to learn. And so at Hack Reactor, they essentially create this environment where you're like immersed completely. Like you know, they tell you ahead of time, you're not going to see your friends. You're not really going to see your family. Like you are just going to be like fully immersed in code for 3 months. Every 2 days you like switch to a new project. And in the beginning, the projects are very much like there's like rails essentially. And so you're just doing like a little bit, but over time you're doing like more and more of it yourself. And then towards the end, you're just making projects that are completely your own.
As a listener of Career Crashers, you know all about the value of project-based learning, how important it is to have work you can see online and have a digital paper trail. Priya not only had a great portfolio of projects, but also a paper trail on Twitter and other places online where you could really get to know her.
At the time, I was like really active on Twitter. I was like really in love with Twitter. And I probably had a following of other tech people, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then also I had a blog and I had some articles. A lot of them weren't tech related, but I did have some tech related articles on there as well. So definitely, I think you would kind of get to know me online even before you met me.
Priya was able to use her portfolio of projects and her digital paper trail to land a job with a mortgage company where she was able to get real, great hands-on experience and look for the next opportunity with a startup. And while she wasn't necessarily looking for a new job, of all places, a second date was where she found an opportunity that led her to Air Garage.
Anyway, so then one day I was on a second date and basically we started talking about my job and he was kind of like, oh, like your job kind of sounds like it sucks and it sounds like, you know, you seem really smart and competent and stuff and like you should be somewhere better essentially. and also we had bonded over our shared love of urbanism and he was like, I work at this urbanism company, but I can't introduce you to them because that would be awkward. But we have like a sister company and like, let me introduce you to them and That's Air Garage.
So despite not being on the job search, with some unexpected networking, Priya was connected with Air Garage.
He went to Air Garage and he said, you know, I found this amazing software engineer. You should think about hiring her. And they basically said, well, we're not hiring software engineers. Like, you know, we're not interested. And then he was like, well, a good software engineer is hard to find. Like, maybe you should talk to her. And then Jonathan said, well, like, I guess you're right. Like, I'll talk to her just in case. And then we got coffee and it went really well. And I think he realized I'd be a really good fit for the team. So then he set me up on a technical interview with Scott. And then I did really well there as well. And then they offered me a position.
So before you know it, Priya had started at Air Garage. And we've already heard about why she's passionate about what they're building and the future they're helping to create. But let's hear a little bit more what it's like day to day to work at Air Garage.
Working with Air Garage is really exciting. It's super fast paced. So something that was really exciting for me is that literally on my first day, I shipped code that went live. And then I could, you know, in that evening, I could see it on the app and stuff.
Yes.
That was like just really satisfying. And it's been like that my whole time there. So when we have an idea, we kind of like just go at it and start coding it and put out an MVP as soon as we can. And really just an MVP. Like we're really careful about like what is like the most bare bones thing we can do that we can use to like test our hypothesis or just like get our customers using this. And then, you know, over time we make it better and we make it prettier and all of those things. So that's probably the thing I like most is how fast paced it is. I also really like that there's a lot of mutual trust in the culture. So occasionally, you know, bad things happen. You know, our server will even go down. Something, you know, something like crazy will happen. And that's somewhat the nature of engineering. I think our, you know, systems are becoming like more and more robust, but occasionally mistakes are made. And I have never really ever felt blamed for those sorts of mistakes or like stressed about them really. It's kind of like if anything happens that, you know, is not ideal, we just get right to fixing it. And then we figure out how can we avoid this in the future? And then we move on. And so that's really nice. I've actually never really worked at a workplace with that culture. And that's been wonderful.
One of the incredible things about working at a startup is the ability to interact directly with your customers. Everyone in the company is involved in the early stages. So you understand the customers, their problems, and the product. Here's Jonathan on how that influences the way they hire and the types of roles and places Air Garage will be growing in the future.
You know, there's so much that you can learn when building a company that interacts with the physical world just by going and seeing something. And, you know, I've had team members where they joined in the last 6 months and then, you know, didn't get to visit a customer in person until recently. And, you know, they saw what their parking lot that they had signed on looked like in person. And they're like, wow, it's like totally different than what I pictured in my head. You know, we've always had people in their markets. So we have people in San Francisco at kind of our HQ, but then we also have team members in Los Angeles, Denver, Detroit, New York, in person, you know, working on building demand in those markets. And so those are roles that we'll continue hiring for as we continue to ramp up those markets. Then we'll find other markets that we're excited about. And so that role, we call it like the city launcher role, but basically it's all about how do we onboard as many parking lots in that city as quickly as possible. And so that's the other role that we consistently hire for in addition to our software engineering role. I think in the next 6 months or so, we'll also have like kind of customer success and ops roles coming open as well as we onboard more customers, because we now operate about 100 different parking lots and garages around the country. So there's a lot of people to manage, of course.
If you're listening to this and thinking that Air Garage might be a great place for the next step in your career, here's Jonathan and Priya on what they look for in new team members.
I think at the end of the day, what you need at a base level is just being excited about building something with a small, passionate, and diverse team. And like, as long as you're, you know, okay with that, and you're like, okay, this mission is big and I'm on board with it, even if it's not your top choice of like, maybe you want to go build rockets with Elon Musk, but you know, don't want to work at a SpaceX sized company. If you're passionate about building something that, you know, can have a real impact and does today have a real impact, that's what we're looking for.
I really love doers. I think probably most of the team loves doers and we hire for that a lot. So something that's amazing about Air Garage is just like how fast paced it is. And if we have an idea in the morning, it's usually like partway to implementation by the afternoon. It's just like, you know, the awesome. Iteration speed is really fast. And so I think people who just kind of like to get their hands dirty and like to try things and aren't afraid of that thing failing is probably the biggest quality that I would be looking for. But also, just being friendly and fun, I think, is really important to me because, you know, I have to work with you every day. I don't know. I want to work with somebody fun. So, and I think it's just good for morale and stuff for everybody to, you know, be having fun together.
the biggest thing is just so that we, you know, have a lot of fun building things together, and there's a great culture of like direct feedback and communication and collaboration. And that's really important to us, is that people have ownership over what they're doing. And, you know, as a small company, we simply don't have like middle managers and don't have the time to, you know, spend micromanaging people and telling them exactly how to do their work. It's like, we are hiring people that are, you know, looking to basically take ownership, and they are going to take something that is, you know, a basic concept and run with it and turn it into something amazing that, you know, has a real impact on our business.
If you're excited about what Air Garage is building and can see yourself joining the team, the best way to get on their radar is to send them a pitch of why you're excited and what you can do to help. Go to crash.co to create your account and send Air Garage a video pitch that blows them away. If you want to learn more about Air Garage, you can go to airgara.ge. That's Air Garage with a dot before the last GE. We really hope you enjoyed the start of this new series where we're diving into up-and-coming tech startups to find out more about their mission, their vision, their company culture, and what they look for as they build great teams. As always, you can head to crash.co to get some of the best career resources out there to connect with us and to connect with the community of career crashers.